Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Buddy. WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, always live on the free Odyssey app.
WFAN Sports Flash.
We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. We will have the Yankees and Blue Jays on the fan today. First pitch, 3:05, Marcus Stroman, the start facing Kevin Gausman. Last night, a 5-4 loss. Aaron Boone knows his team needs to be better.
In the end, we got outplayed tonight. You know, they played a heck of a game in a lot of ways. You know, made a couple of huge, big plays defensively in the outfield. Kikuchi was really good, and they had those kind of tough at-bats that weren't always ending in walks, but made us work really hard and kind of outlasted us there.
Surprised you're leading with the Yankees today, Jer.
I led with the Mets last hour, Yankees this hour.
Oh, I think you're missing the real lead of the day.
Which would be?
Boomer's birthday. I mean, geez.
You're going to lead with Boomer's birthday?
No, I mean, I don't know.
I think we just spent 4 hours on it.
Yeah, exactly. Driving in was all about, let's see what the morning guys are doing. Boomer's birthday. Oh, deliveries with golf clubs and cakes and cupcakes and bagels.
Well,
I mean,
well, Boomer's hold on birthday. A sec, though. So Boomer's birthday is today, and we celebrate Boomer. You're moving and boxing up for 2 months, and you complained about it on the air. Two months.
No, but it's Boomer's birthday.
Yeah, like, I understand that. 2 months, you're wasting airtime about your stupid move.
This is once
and
a year.
Boomer's birthday, we're celebrating the guy.
You got an issue with it?
He's the captain.
This guy's got an issue with everything.
I know he does.
Oh, my God.
Evan, he's the PD. Probably got an issue with Hurley actually getting hired.
Here's the thing. Let's celebrate like Boomer's anniversary when he won the MVP or made it to a Super Bowl. His birthday?
How about this? Worry about your landscaping.
Well, that's another issue.
Jerry, he doesn't know what's coming with the landscaping, right? What a pain in the ass.
How were the cupcakes, Jerry?
Didn't have one.
You didn't have a cupcake?
I did not, but I had the fudgy the well cake. Yeah, that's why I didn't have the cupcake. Yeah. I knew that was coming at 9 o'clock. No, okay.
I stole
saved
the bagel.
Boomer kept right the butter or gave it away?
There was butter?
The putter.
Oh, I was going to say.
Did he keep the putter?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Right, great question.
How old is he? Do we know?
I think 63.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Let's go. Well, happy birthday, Boomer.
I went to his 50th birthday party.
Where was it?
It was at a restaurant about 5 blocks away.
Wow.
Now I'm 50.
When did you turn 50?
That's weird.
Time's moving,
last
buddy.
Month. Oh, okay. Do we celebrate your birthday? Did anybody send cakes or anything like that?
Boomer gave me a golf bag.
Oh, there you go.
Look, you see that. That's
nice. And okay. CBS Sports Network sent food.
There you go. All right. So maybe everybody's a big birthday day except for us.
And Eddie. Yeah. Eddie doesn't want it acknowledged.
Yeah, well.
One day, Craig made a mistake and acknowledged his birthday. Yeah. Eddie didn't talk to him. Literally didn't talk to us for a week.
Why?
Pissed.
Yes, because Jerry doesn't like
you don't
that.
Acknowledge
because,
birthdays.
Yeah. Why? Because everybody's, like, it's not a big deal.
He thinks they're for children.
Yeah, they are.
By the way. What a way to announce your daughter's birthday. Oh, my God.
Yeah, my wife goes,
was the door locked when you got home?
My wife goes, send me the clip of that. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll send it to you later.
After I mean, the first 72 seconds of
I'm
it.
I'm waiting until the 48 hours where we can go back on the Odyssey Rewind app. Oh, sorry, I missed it. Yeah.
Jackass.
I'll pull it for her.
We're brought to you by Mazda. The 2024 Mazda CX-50 comes with standard iActive all-wheel drive, giving you confidence and grip on the road in any weather condition. The CX-50 also has a durable yet luxurious interior with a panoramic electric moonroof, Bose audio system, and heated ventilated seats. Visit your local Mazda dealer or MazdaUSA.com to learn more. And by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. It is 60 in Central Park. That's what's happening. Jerry Recco on Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Lacana back on The Fan. So we talked about it earlier, BT. We wanted to get into the quotes from Boone about the Yankees defense. Look, Yankees defense have been an issue. Point is, they have some flaws. For a team that came out of the gate looking like they weren't going to lose a series all year long, dominating baseball with Soto in their lineup, Volpe going nuts. Obviously, you expected Aaron Judge to get going. Yankees have some flaws, one of which is playing defense, although don't tell the manager that that's the case. So he was on, it's a Talking Yanks podcast, right, with John Boy and Jake.
Yes.
Aaron Boone is a regular guest. Listen to what he said after this question by John Boy.
The infield as a whole, there's, I think every position has two or three errors now. And then there's been just a lot of double plays not turned that I assume would be turned. Mm-hmm.
Glaber had the one where he had the easy step on the bag and just threw it away. And obviously not something you want. I mean, the one where on the transfer, the nailer one, a great play by Glaber to kind of lay out and actually put a great throw. And then just in a where you got to be perfect on the transfer. He didn't make the transfer clean. Volpe coming across the bag. But, you know, Volpe's obviously been phenomenal so far at short. Overall, like, when we look at our defense, I'm confident our infield defense is going to be – it's already been a strength. I think outs above average, I think we're in the top five in the league right now. You're going to get DJ back in the mix. I think we're an excellent defensive infield team. We've made a few mistakes, part of it, especially early, small – sample, but actually in a small sample, I think we're pretty high in the league overall infield defense.
I mean, this is the same delusion that he continues to speak with. It's ridiculous. Oh, outs above average. Like, dude, watch the games. If you watch, you know your team is not good defensively. Now, could they get better? Absolutely. Is it early? Sure. Nobody's saying they're the worst defensive team ever. But can you acknowledge that it hasn't been a plus for you just because you're reading the stats? And then he wonders why I call him a data applicator. I mean, come on. Outs above average.
Yeah.
Now, that was before this, you know, last night's game.
Before last night, yeah. And obviously Torres with the steal at second, dropped the ball, the odd decision to try to get, you know, somebody third on a tapper up the middle, which he was safe, close, but he was safe. I don't have as much of an issue with it as you do, because I do think it's correctable, and I do think that this is a bit of an uncharacteristic start defensively for the Yankees. Like, if they just had butchers all, like if Luke Voit was playing first base.
No, Rizzo
you know
does not
saying,
look good at all.
No, I'm not saying he's look good. What I'm saying is that to me is just an odd, quirky occurrence that will correct itself. And if it doesn't, well, then you've got a season-long issue. See, I don't think people associate defensive slumps like they do offensive slumps. And I'm a believer that they both exist. Now, you know, you're 1-for-20, it's going to be amplified. Torres hitting, he's got no bombs, he's got two ribbies, his OPS is 520, he's in a slump. Yeah, and we focus on the hitting aspect of slumps. We kind of gloss over defensive lapses or periods of subpar play. But I think when the Yankees are in sync, I think they're an above-average defensive infield.
You think Glaber's a good defensive player?
I think there's too much indifference on his part. I think he's a very skilled receiver of the ball, I think he can make plays up the middle. I think he can make plays to his left. Yeah. I think he can go back and get the pop-up down the right field line well enough. I think he's got a pretty good arm. But my issue with Glaber, like, there's some
he's
guys,
not a heads-up player.
Well, I've always said that. There's some guys who just don't have good hands. He's got good hands. His head fluctuates between being present and not
right,
being
and
present.
So then, to me, the
you can't
answer
fix
would be,
that, though.
The answer would be no.
Well, you want to get on Boone? That's where I think my biggest gripe with Boone over the years is that, you know, maybe he's different publicly behind closed doors. I know he's one to embarrass guys, and I do get that. You can't do this. It's not the 70s or 80s. I got it. You got to handle these players with kid gloves. It's a different generation. But I feel like with Glaber in particular, if the Yankees held him accountable more early, I think you might see a different player now. Understand this. Glaber Torres is going for a massive contract. And forget about the stats. Look at the effort. What does he do if you pay him?
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not.
And they won't. But it's also, to me, a bigger point. It wasn't just those comments from Boone this particular time with John Boy and Jake. It's that he's felt like this for a while. Boone is the same guy that said IKF was a good defensive shortstop before moving him off of shortstop in the postseason a couple years ago, whenever that was. And then you had the Yankees themselves move Gleyber Torres from second base to make him the shortstop, which was ridiculous.
That was a disaster.
Okay, but how come you or I could know that at the time, but they don't? And then they try to blow smoke and say, no, this is the right move. Like, does Cashman know what he's doing or not? Why would you move? Like, that's a Mets move, Kaz Matsui, or move Reyes for Kaz Matsui type thing. It didn't make any sense. They ruined Gleyber Torres. Then they move him back to second base. They bring in IKF. They're telling us it's a great defensive shortstop, only to bench him in the postseason. Like, come on. They say one thing and then eventually do another because they realize that whatever those stupid metrics that they're looking at aren't accurate in this particular case.
Well, this is like, you know, an argument with a spouse or whatever. Like, are we just drumming up all the old issues here? Because I'm hearing a laundry list of things that go back away. I don't care about IKF. He's gone.
Yeah.
I don't care about Gleyber Torres playing shortstop. He's not.
But the same guys who made those decisions are here.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're still saying the same thing. Like, we watch the Yankees and say, hey, they got some issues defensively, and mm-hmm. the manager is saying, oh, we're good defensively. We're one of the best teams. We're plus defensively.
Now, he's referencing a stat which literally doesn't make him wrong. Optically, they're sloppy this year. I'm giving you that. But I look at Rizzo. Now, I don't know if he's going to hit the way I thought he maybe could this year. Rizzo's going to catch the ball this year. Do you not think that Rizzo's going to be a borderline elite first baseman?
Yeah, but usually if you're a good defensive player, it's not something, like, you don't even go through bad defensive laps.
Well, he's had an odd start to the season. Yeah. I grant you that. And maybe this is the aging process, maybe the remnants of the concussion. I don't want to be irresponsible. Right. I don't know.
No, but health and age are concerns. And when you see a guy, like, you could tell me that, oh, he'll get going offensively eventually and we could, you know, be concerned about that or not. But defensively, that shouldn't be an issue. You either are a good defensive player or you're not.
Yeah, but you're not
a
robot.
He's been a great defensive player.
You're not a robot. They're still human. So I choose to believe at this point, given his over, you know, 10, 11, 12-year body of work, that he was an elite first baseman, and he'll find a way to recapture that where he'll still be a plus defensively. Gleyber, you know where I stand on him. Volpe's terrific at short. And the competence level between Cabrera, DJ is fine at third. I'm not incredibly worried about their infield defense. It's been a problem thus far, no doubt. One of the first things I said to start the show. And if you missed it, free Odyssey app, rewind, catch up. I actually think the biggest issue so far with the Yankees is they're hitting. It's only two or three guys hitting their defense. And then some of their starting pitching, like their pitching, which was fear number one for all of us once Gerrit Cole went down, is almost the least of their issues. So I think that these things will correct themselves. But right now, the Yankees don't look sharp. I'm not afraid to say it. They don't look good.
One more from Boone on Talking Yanks with John Boy and Jake. And he's talking about your boy Gleyber, who I know you said earlier on, like you said, you can check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Your biggest concern was Gleyber Torres.
When you moved Gleyber down, his underlying stats when he was at leadoff were actually pretty good. Since moving, it seems those underlying stats have tinkered the wrong way.
I'm probably least worried about Gleyber offensively. Like, Gleyber's going to hit. He's been close all year. I do feel like right before I moved him down that weekend, I could feel him chasing results a little bit. He and I even had a conversation about it. I'm not worried about it. And once he gets going in the middle of our order, he's on that short list of guys you want up when he's going well. So he's definitely not a guy I worry about over the long haul, like, of what he's going to be offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you want some reaction from me, but what Boone's saying, and I'm not a huge Torres fan, but what he's saying isn't crazy. Yeah.
No, Boone has no concerns. I'd like to live a life like he does.
No worries.
Not worried about anything. He's not worried about anything. Yeah. Anything ever. Defense going to be great. Torres going to be great. Oh, he's one of those guys you don't want to face. Yeah, I know. I mean, he's not worried about anything. It's remarkable. Do we have any clips ever of Aaron Boone ever saying anything negative about the Yankees?
It's very rare. He admonishes publicly. Privately, pardon me. Praise and cajole in a favorable way publicly and admonish privately. That's, you know, what some parents think they should do. That's what some coaches think that they should do. He subscribes to that. Now, I'm a little more old school. You know, I'm a little more red ass. Get your head out of your behind. Right. Let's go. But what he just said about Torres eventually hitting, I don't disagree. But that doesn't mean that I want Gleyber Torres here for 5 or 6 years.
Well, that is a different story. And by the way, you know.
But he's going to hit a little bit. You know he's going to hit.
Of course, he generally does. So I would expect that he's going to at some point. It's still just not good enough. But you don't have to rip him. You could acknowledge that he's struggling.
Yeah.
And like a little bit more so than the
way
that
he said.
He's one of those guys that when he gets going, yeah.
Well,
okay.
Well, he said that, but don't just hear what you want to hear. He also to fit your story. He also said, you know, I saw him. He was chasing some results at the end of that series, and we had a talk. Like he took you behind the curtain a little bit. You just kind of want to hear it.
Yeah,
we gotta listen to it, not just go to the stuff that's gonna rev you up.
Like, come on, though. At times, it's been a pattern with Boone, and I do like Aaron Boone. I don't think he's a problem with the Yankees at all. Never did I ever feel that he was a problem. But like, it's nauseating. It's nauseating the positive spin. BT and Sal on the fan. Roger is calling from Torrington, Connecticut. What's up, Roger?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Roger?
Listen, first of all, you hit the nail right on the head when you said that sometimes Glaber doesn't have his head in the game and sometimes he does. I think most of the time he does not have his head in the game. He is a guy who has taught himself to rely entirely on his considerable raw talent. He has learned nothing in all of his years in the majors.
That's true.
He still doesn't learn how to run bases. He still, you know, he'll try to take the extra base when the play is in front of him.
You're right.
So if he's going to try to get thrown
now,
out.
Now, Raj, let me ask you this. Right, hold on one second, pal. I don't mean to jump on it, but I want your answer. I know mine. Who do you blame most for that?
Boone and
the Yankees, because the Yankees fostered that lazy attitude early. They never checked him on it.
Yeah, but that's kind of my point about him not getting on Torres even in that interview. Like, again, I'm not saying you got to rip the guy, but it does show since they moved on from Girardi, who used to hold guys accountable.
Yep.
They moved on purposely because they didn't want anybody to hold guys accountable.
Yeah,
anymore.
But hold on a second. Now, let's not rewrite history. How many times over the course of Robinson Cano's run, you know, with Girardi, Were we, whether it was me on a different station, you here taking calls with Mike and Chris. Cano's, I know he hit more.
Well,
I get that a lot
it's
more.
It's a big difference.
But there was still an element of laziness, and fans were chastising him. Dude, run down the line. Stop loafing. Stop pimping. Do your job. Play with more energy. Play with more urgency. And Girardi allowed that to happen as well. So it's not just
like,
Boone.
Yeah, but when Glaber hits like Cano.
Yeah. No, that's why I'll lay off him a little bit.
I understood the difference, but the prime example was lazy too.
He was frustrated.
The prime example was how Girardi used to get on Gary Sanchez and hold him accountable and demand more.
Mm-hmm.
They move on saying that he needed to be coddled, and look what happened.
Yeah.
It just turns out Gary Sanchez sucked and wasn't who they thought he was going to be. El Kraken or whatever Cashman's nickname he came up with. Cashman was wrong on that. The coddling is nauseating. Again, I'm not saying the Yankees are alone. That's just the way of the world now.
Yeah.
We're going to love players more than anybody's loved them before. However, when we're watching guys not do their job or not get the job done, I don't want to hear the positive rhetoric. I don't want to hear it. When I see IKF, I know you don't want to go back to that, and it's irrelevant now to a certain extent, but it's the same guys here. When I see IKF with my own eyes and say, he's not a good defensive shortstop, and yet Boone and Cashman say otherwise, it makes me think they don't know what they're talking about. Now, then they eventually move on. Same thing with Gleyber Torres. They said, what are they doing moving him to shortstop? He's not a shortstop. I could see that. Why can't they? Then they finally move him. Like now, so now for years, it's us saying, Glaber just ain't it. Trade him. By the way, I think they tried to trade him, whether it was last offseason, two offseasons ago, whatever.
The Marlins, I think it was for Lopez. Right. They had conversations,
So then why is he still here?
I'm not sure.
And
I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah.
I gave you a theory yesterday. I can't prove this, but I could. I think there's something to it. Like, because Volpe, even though, you know, the 20-plus bombs, 20-plus steals, gold glove, okay. I mean, he really looked overmatched at the plate a lot last year. Large swaths of his season, he looked overmatched, right? So I think that the Yankees, while they expected growth from Volpe, rough night aside last night, they didn't expect this much growth this soon. I think if they thought that they had Volpe here now, I think they may have traded Torres and may have gone with Peraza. Now, Peraza got hurt. The combination of Peraza and DJ at second. I'm kind of mix and match a little bit. But if you're not sure Volpe's going to really go from 209 to...
Peraza getting hurt really hurt things.
Yeah.
I know he's not an integral part, but...
A little bit.
He's a good defensive player.
He's a great defensive player. I don't know if he'll ever hit, but he's a great defensive player.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have him available.
He can run a little bit. That youthful energy that you know, fans like and resonates with a veteran team. Guys like Judge, Soto, even though Soto's young, but the other guys, DJ, like Rizzo. I think you need a good mixture of that. And the Mets kind of have that with Beatty and some of the young kids as well. I think that kind of threw a wrench into their plans, but because Volpe's taken a massive step. I think it makes Torres a little bit more expendable, but it's too late unless you trade him midseason.
BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls on the other side. You mentioned the Mets. We will get into them. Of course, they're looking for the sweep of
those
the
hot Metsies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Mets are back. All things.
Stevie P.
Order has been restored, BT. Yankees have lost three straight. The Mets are on fire, over 500. Everything is great this morning.
That's fantastic. It's going to be really good, though, when we start betting on the NBA. Those Knicks, let's go Knicks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. We'll have three random questions coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, we're talking Yankees, 877-337-6666. Although, BT, well, the Mets are the hotter team in town. I cannot believe, honestly, we talked about it yesterday, getting back to 500. I can't believe we're sitting here 17 games in after that start that the Mets are now 9-8 and looking like a fun ball club. They're playing defense. They're pitching, getting timely hitting, putting the bat on the ball. There's a different energy at Citi Field. I don't care if it's however many people are out there, but there is a different energy around this team. We talked about it yesterday. I'm not going to go nuts just yet. They are winning me over. They're playing some good baseball right now.
They're fun. They're definitely fun to watch. There's an excitement. There's an exuberance that I thought was really missing from last year's team. Now, the previous year with Buck, when they won 101 games, they had it. Last year, they did not. We discussed that a million times. And yeah, I call it the Mendoza effect. But I also think the Gibbons effect. He's an intense guy. You know, John Gibbons is an intense dude.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's rubbed off nicely. I think Bader is, plays in a very jovial, very youthful manner, which is great. Obviously, Lindor has good, you know, mannerisms and good excitement on the field. You know, same with Nimmo. He plays hard. Worry's not the, and this has nothing to do with their performance. The Mets absolutely are playing nice baseball. And let's see if they can bag this today before they go out west. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when they go out there to play the Dodgers and the Giants. Giants have better pitching. Dodgers have everything. So it could change in a heartbeat. But it'll be nice to get this win. So I admit, Mets look better than I thought. They're fun to watch. They look, you know, flat out good. There's no like if right. and but, no asterisk. Mets look pretty good right now. But are you worried? Two things that I find a little disheartening. Number one, Beatty's hamstring.
Right.
Which is why Wendell was in the game.
They said he came in feeling okay today, and they're hopeful that they could keep him off the IL. That's
okay.
The way
but he's definitely not playing today.
I don't believe so. I wouldn't think
okay.
so.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not the worst news, but it does... Yeah. At least temporarily stunt or his growth.
Because he's been a big part.
It's been fantastic, and I love seeing him play. And the other thing, and I know that the Mets said they weren't concerned. Stern said he wasn't concerned about this, but I don't love seeing Edwin Diaz's velo down. Did you notice that?
I did.
Obviously, Drew Smith finished up. Drew Smith looked good last night.
Drew Smith, whatever.
He threw the ball
Diaz
really well last night.
Yeah, and I can't get into Drew Smith. It's just a matter of, now he's been better this year, but I can't get into Drew Smith. I don't trust him. My confidence level in this team is growing. I just don't trust Drew Smith. It's going to take a lot for me to see to trust him. I have to see him get the job done. I will say that I haven't noticed it in Diaz's performance. He's still been basically lights out. You know, we talked about yesterday being the best closer that we've seen since Mariano Rivera, not putting him on Mo's level. Nobody is, but he's been that automatic. So I was concerned to read about the dip in the velo, but, I mean, based on performance, he's getting the job done, so it really doesn't matter, does it?
No, I noticed the other night he threw a couple of sliders that didn't look great. And then he reached back for a fastball. He missed the zone. This is just something that it was fairly innocuous, but it jumped out to me. He missed the zone by a really wide margin, and it wasn't a purpose waste pitch. And I'm like, And I think the reason that might happen, again, I want to stay in my lane, but if you know you're a little lacking with the heat, you reach back and you try to do more, and mechanically you get out of whack and the ball sails on
you
a little bit.
You get hurt.
You get hurt, God forbid. Let me just give you the answer. I'm on Fangraphs now. Let me see if there's a discernible drop. Okay,
by the way,
Go ahead, Sal.
Well, I was going to say, last night, one of the keys to the game for the Mets is when the Pirates inexplicably took out Jared Jones after 5 innings and 59 pitches. Dude, come on now. I get that this is where we're at with the sport, but that just shows you why it should not be taken seriously on certain nights. How could I take that seriously? It's not a competitive game.
Yeah.
Because if it were a competitive game from the Pirates' standpoint, he would have pitched until he got knocked out of the game or they felt that he didn't have it anymore. 59 pitches, 7 strikeouts, didn't walk anybody, allowed 1 hit. The guy's cruising right along, take him out of the game, and what happens? The Mets, of course, come back in the game a couple innings later. Like, it's just absurd.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. That's not a fully competitive game. I'm sorry, it's not.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, the game's changed a lot. We were talking about, I'll get back to the Diaz Velo thing in a moment. I have something for you. It's somewhat interesting. I don't know if it really tells everything, but it's interesting. You think back about how Boone talks about the Yankees defense. We played the clip from Talking Yanks before the pod. And I don't think it was terrible, but I certainly hear what you're saying. Like, I don't think he was completely covering up, but, you know, maybe leaning on some irrefutable stats to kind of throw some people off scent. Listen, if you watch the Yankees trying to catch the ball this year, they look different. The point being,
which is why the question was asked.
Correct, 100%. And there's only been 2 games where they haven't had errors. But the bigger thread here is, like, think about what Billy Martin did to Reggie when he pulled him in the middle of the game.
Right.
And now look at where we are with managers either offering excuses or last night pulling somebody when he shouldn't be.
How do you do that?
It's a different game, Sal.
How's that good for the game in any way? If I am a Pirates fan, and thank goodness I am not.
Yeah.
Like, why would I invest in a team that does that on a given night? They gave up in that game when they pulled this kid after 59 pitches. It'd be one thing if he were, you know, 88, 90. Like, even then, I'd be like, you know, I still want to push. That's just me. Like, push
but
him to
100. But you know there's no chance
okay,
that
fine.
They are.
Yeah, but 60? We're going to stop now at 60 pitches? So that shows me it wasn't even about the pitches. It was about he's going 5 innings today regardless. I mean, that's what it had to be, right?
Well,
gave me about 60 pitches.
It's funny, the different generations. So, you know, we're conditioned from the old school, right? And I'm watching the Yanks last night. My son comes in, so we're watching it together. And, you know, what was Rodon at? At this point, he was at obviously 101.
Right.
Now, generally, when you're done, right, you kind of optically know when someone's done. Right. The handshake, not that you're going to give them a standing ovation.
No,
but
no, I get
the
it.
Towel around the neck, the jacket, you sit down, you unplug, you know the pitcher X out of the game. And I'm sitting, but to me, he didn't look like he was coming out, which I was very surprised at. I'm like, man, he's labored all night, getting all these full counts, blah, 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 4 walks, a couple strikes out. My son goes, oh, there's no way he's going back out there. I'm like, why? He's like, no, he's done. He's finished. Like, he's 9, and he knows there's no chance he's going back out.
Right. The old school in you was like, yeah, he's got one more in him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen? Yes, because I didn't want to hear you today. I wanted him to get fired.
Right,
I wanted at least 5 on the board so my partner wasn't yapping from the get-go, which, by the way, he was.
It is a big difference, 5 innings, 3 runs versus 4 innings and 100.
But think about this now. Like, you and I are going to always hold on to the remnants of that old school philosophy, but the new generation. You know, when he's 9, when he's 19, when he's 29, when he's 59, God willing, 99. Like, he's going to see it totally different. It's changed. It's over. It's done. It's not being wistful. It's over.
Understood, but don't you think that last night was even more than...
Yes, I do. More
like,
egregious.
Come on, dude.
I do.
Forget whether old school, new school, whether we, you know, agree with it or not. Like, that's not good for the sport. Period.
Yeah.
It's just not good. Now, I'm not a proponent of 7-inning games at all.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is making the argument for 7-inning games. Like, you can't, you put your best pitcher out there, he's dominating, and you take him out after 5 innings. There's almost half the game to go.
You know, the Pirates aren't as good as I thought they might be. I'm not going to overreact to the couple of games I've watched about the Mets here.
Yeah, but they've been sloppy.
With the Mets. Like, they've been a little sloppy. I thought they might hit a little bit more this year. I feel like the Pirates aren't hitting the way I thought that they might. And that Central, listen, this is a bigger longer range topic about the Mets and playoff viability.
Mets are better than the Pirates.
Yeah, they might be a smidge better. They might be. especially when you get Senga back and Martinez. Well, although Martinez looks like he's still a couple of weeks away. I saw that last night.
Oh, God.
Yeah, whatever. It's not a huge setback, but just not what you're looking for. It's not, it's not optimal.
Their biggest free agent signing. Yeah, it was seen in May.
Yeah, right. So let me back to Diaz. I want to at least complete this point. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, obviously hurt last year. 2 years ago, he averaged 99.1 miles per hour on the fastball. This year, it's 97. All right, now you say, well, what's 2.1? Honestly, at that level, 2.1 is fairly more significant than I think maybe some of you think when you first hear it. But what that also means, for it to go from 99.1 to 97, that means there's some 93s and 94s mixed in there. And that could be a problem. I'm not sounding the alarm. All I'm saying is I'm going to be watching that radar, which I almost do anyway for everybody. Let me watch a little more closely for Diaz next couple times out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Concern yet, but I'll admit, I did not notice that. I saw the quotes yesterday, the comments yesterday, and my first reaction was, uh-oh. Mm. Like, that's just not good.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A good question.
Free random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, here we go, BT. Three random questions as we do every Wednesday at 11:40. The first one, and there's a couple of things that I got this from this morning listening to the morning show. So the first one for you, do you celebrate your own birthday?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they get a little more depressing by the year, I mean, quite frankly.
The numbers start to go up.
Yeah, numbers.
The enjoyment starts to go down.
Yeah, but if the numbers aren't going up, then we're not here.
Well, I was going to say, it could be the opposite, right? The longer you make it, the more there is to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, the number could stop.
So yeah, I get it.
We'll keep taking them piling on. Do I celebrate it?
Like, do you make a big deal of your own birthday?
But thankfully, you know, my wife makes me feel special. My mom and dad still call and sing happy birthday, and the kids, you know, do their things as little kids. Okay. But I don't do anything about my birthday.
Like, you don't take off or anything like that?
No. Okay. No. Why, do you?
No, I don't. But some people...
Well, let me guess. Sal, the program director, is about to criticize somebody who did.
I do need to have a meeting with Ryan and go over some things I would like changed around here. Hoff, you make a big deal of your birthday?
No, I'm the opposite. I make sure that nobody knows.
Right. You know why? Because you're an adult. You're a functioning adult. Though, if you make a big deal?
I never did. After the heart attack, I give thanks every year.
See, there you go. That's something to celebrate. All right, that's fair enough.
Now, is that the Hebrew birthday or is that the...
I usually do the Hebrew. Actually, okay. The next one's a big one. 60 is actually as a
designated. Oh! All right. We got a party with Dove.
I'm confused. Just explain to me the difference.
Just the two different calendars.
Today is April 17th, based on the solar calendar, how long it takes the Earth to go around the sun.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, I wasn't sure if there was like different years. You know,
yeah,
how,
are
like,
you
dog
like 60
years
and 62?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Is there a difference?
In dog years, yeah.
He's seven. He's not listening to you. A word you're saying about the sun rotating around the moon.
Neither are you, so that's okay.
No, at least I know about the Hebrew calendar.
It's just a matter of when you celebrate, but it's the same amount of time.
It's still off by a week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I got you.
No, he's not really 79.
That is something to celebrate, though, just another year of life. I get it. I think that's probably the genesis
of birthdays. Yeah, sure. Well, who do you have a problem? Booms?
Oh, I mean, they just made the biggest deal of, okay, it's his birthday, great, like, congratulations.
No,
I mean,
but hold on.
That's where I came up with the idea. Yeah, listen to him, like, all right, I mean, well, you know, 40 minutes on the commute in, and it was, you know, birthday boom celebration.
Well, here's the thing, though. So you asked me,
it's not like it was 70 or even 60.
It's 62, 63. No, it's not a benchmark birthday.
Right.
I got you, but
You see, I'm surprised he worked today. I guess coming in to receive all the accolades.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, right.
I think you're twisting things, though, just so you can take a little shot at Booms. Because you asked me, do I make a big deal out of my birthday? The answer is no.
Right.
And neither does Boomer. Everybody around them's making a
Fair
big
enough.
Deal. Sending them putters
Fair
and
enough.
Cameo videos
oh,
and Fudgy
God.
The Whales yeah, and Bagel. That's not Boomer's fault.
I get it.
Everybody,
I get it.
Maybe people loved you the way they love Boomer. You wouldn't be so jealous.
That is true. Well, I'm not jealous. I'm just, I mean, it was a little much, I thought.
Can I give a birthday shout out real quick?
Happy birthday, Booms.
But not the Boomer, no. Oh. Screw that. He's got enough. Mr. Steve Stummers, I think he turned 100 today.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. How old is he? Is it really his birthday?
It is.
Happy birthday, Schmoozy.
Schmoozy.
Hey, I wonder if Steve got cake. See, I was here all those years behind the scenes, and I remember one person only having his birthday celebrated. You want to take a guess who that was?
Let's see. Big Mike. Everybody's
going
to bow down to
Mike.
The Pope.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, matter of fact, sometimes there would be cake just lighter out of the newsroom, and people would be like, oh, what's this for? I was like, oh, it's Mike's birthday. And then the sales guys would be like, oh, Mike, happy birthday. He's like, it's not my birthday. It was such a funny thing because Mike didn't really love the, I mean, I think he liked it deep down, but like he didn't want it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they did. It was a big deal. Everybody else, that doesn't matter. Mike, here's the birthday cake. And now that's what we get with Boomer.
Now, by the way, why did you hijack this? I'm noticing a lot of issues with this segment so far. You hijacked it. It was about Schmooze, and now you make it about Mike again.
Well,
who cares about Mike right now? It's Schmooze's birthday.
Correct, but it made me think,
happy
you know,
birthday, Schmooze.
Yeah, right. They should have been sending Schmooze birthday cakes back in the day.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Happy
birthday, Steve.
What did you do on your 21st birthday? I didn't even have a drink on my 21st birthday.
I didn't go
to a bar, I should say.
I don't remember. I think my 30th, I went to Chicago to see the Mets play at Wrigley for the first time.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, that
All
was
right.
a big one. I don't remember 21.
Okay, I got you.
You did something big for 21?
No, because back in the day, we started drinking when we were like 16, so it really didn't make much of an issue when I was 21.
All right. Number two, this also
back
comes...
in the day, that's no longer... You can't do that anymore.
Number two, this also comes from the morning show. What's your favorite car of all time?
The one that I've owned, or...
Well, you could pick either way. Yeah. One that you would either want, one that you could answer however you like.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was never a car guy. Mm-hmm. Like... You're a car guy or you're not. You have the Lamborghini photo framed in your bedroom in the 80s
or 90s.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal.
I had Mattingly I had Ewing and I had Mullen. That's all I cared about. And like Kathy Ireland and a few of those things, of course. But maybe Nicole Eggert too and Alyssa Milano. I was never really...
Anyone else?
I think that was that was the top of the list right there. I was never a big car guy. I'd have to say... Oh, God. It's certainly not the car that I'm in now because I can't have the car that I've been now for more than 3 months without either getting flat out
or getting
smashed.
You ever have a car that you want?
Good.
Like they were talking about this morning. Jerry was saying his favorite car ever was a Mustang, but he feels like he's too old to be driving one, whatever. And that made me think.
If he drives it by himself. See, listen. Sammy turned three yesterday. By the way, how was the cake? Speaking of birthdays, how was the birthday last night?
It was good. It was fun.
Did the kids ruin the house?
No, all good. All good.
Woo! I think that because my kids are still fairly young and transporting to games and stuff, no more child seats. We're past that stage. But I could see in like 7-8 years, maybe daddy going out there and getting a vet. I mean, if
there
I can afford it, or doing a little something wacky like that.
Year?
I think you're going to skew old because of your pops. I think I would skew new myself. I don't have a particular year, though.
You go more
and I'd probably go black. I wouldn't go red. I'd go black.
Okay, I like that answer. That's a good answer. Hoff, you have one?
Yeah, from Knight Rider Kit.
There you go. I like it.
Well, then wait. I want the Batmobile if we're doing specific cars.
Me too. Batmobile. See, I would be with Hoff. Like, if you were picking fantasy cars instead of the DeLorean or the Batmobile or the Dukes of Hazzard car. I'd probably go, although that would be up there. I would go either Dukes of Hazzard or
Does Daisy come with the ride?
Then we're going Dukes of Hazzard.
So I'll scrap the car. We'll take Daisy.
Wait, you don't want Hasselhoff?
We'll walk.
Daisy, you know, eventually you might be like, you know what? Let me go back to Kit. You know, you have the kid on you. Kit's like,
hey, Kit the robot will never talk back to
exactly.
you. She won't betray you.
For the record, I would go 1967 Pontiac Firebird, and yes, sentimental reasons. That was actually my first car that my father bought us years before I was even 16.
Uh-huh.
Restored it himself, gave it to me. And then he ended up selling it to buy me the 84 Corvette that I had because I couldn't drive stick. And now I'd do anything to have that car.
Stuff. Look at this guy.
It was
Mine was an 86 Chevy Cavalier. You actually had real rides.
Yeah, I did.
The funny story, I couldn't... you said you couldn't drive a 5-speed, right?
Yeah, I mean, I barely. So
okay. All right, so my dad said, do you ever get any money for college, for baseball, I'll get you a new car, right? Nothing crazy.
Right.
Nothing crazy. And here we go, and I'm with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we're in Bay Ridge. I'm not going to say the name of the dealership. We get the car, right? And my dad's like, you know how to drive a 5-speed? Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. I've never driven one in my life, right? So me and her, my dad takes his car. Me and her go in her car. I think she had a Lexus, whatever she had. And we get in my new car, and within 30 seconds, I get in an accident.
Oh, no.
Because I'm not on the avenue, not on like 3rd Avenue where this dealership was in Bay Ridge. It was I didn't know how to work the 5-speed, so the car jumped. And it hit the car in front of it. And then, you know, first time I go out.
I'm noticing a pattern with you here.
Well, there's actually a long gaps between incidents, thank God. But then I was going out to a place in Long Island, and I'm on the Southern State, and I honestly did not know how to drive a 5-speed. It took me 3 hours. I kept stalling.
Yeah, it's hard.
It was crazy. It's hard. But once you learn, it's awesome.
Last one for you.
Yes,
heavy hitter or finish, you know, with a mild question here?
Heavy hitter, dude. What do you think, man?
I'm not sure if we asked this one before. I had this in the little Rolodex.
Do you want
here.
The good one or do you want the lame one? Give it a good one. Give it a juicy one, dude. Ones.
All right. Would you sacrifice sex for 2 years if it guaranteed a championship for your team of choice, whether it's the Jets winning a Super Bowl, the Knicks winning a title this year? Would you give up sex for 2 years if it guaranteed you a championship from one of your teams?
No.
You sure about that?
No. I'm not sure. Can I?
There is a part of everybody.
Can I make myself feel good? I mean, I need to understand what's the parameters here? If I can take care of business myself and keep the train moving and get the Jets a championship, then I'll do it. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Keep the train moving. Yeah, you know? I will give you that. Yes.
Well, then yeah,
you can
probably.
You could self-satisfy.
I mean, it's a tough call, dude. Would you?
Which team?
I always go back and forth. Jets or the Knicks, and I. My standard stock answer is I'd probably say the Knicks because for the Knicks to win the championship, it's April, it's late, it's, you know, latest April, May, June. The Jets, it's probably, you know, buying the first round, divisional conference champion. It's 3 games. I think the Knicks run longer.
Think about the Jets winning the Super Bowl and what that would mean.
But think about the Knicks winning the championship and what that would mean.
I know, but you specifically.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like
the
Knicks winning, we all feel that.
I'm a basketball guy slightly before I was a football guy.
Well, whatever. I would, to answer the question, you better believe I'd give up sex for 2 years. I mean, you get married, you're basically giving up sex anyway. Give me a championship. I want a reward. What's another couple of months?
You said a couple of years. You said a couple of years.
No. Yeah, yeah. But
you said 2 years.
Yeah, but over the course of those 2 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not
true.
Like I'm active the way that I used to be. I'll be honest with you. Pre-kid, pre-dog, it was like, there's no way I'd give up any of this stuff. This is the greatest thing ever. Then you get married, you get the dog, you get the kid. You're like, what's going on here? Give me the...
What, then you just bust out the laptop? Oh, jeez.
I mean, at least I'd have a championship to celebrate.
That's why I asked the question that I asked. You know. I mean, I can't go 2 years with nothing.
I get it.
I can go 2 years with a championship and me taking care of business. I think.
Does it prevent other teams from winning? Like, if I say want the Mets to win, it guarantees the Mets can win, but the Rangers could still win on top of them.
No, you guarantee only one.
If that happens, you get a threesome.
Yeah, yeah. Then let's go for it. I mean,
you
I guess.
You have an answer yet. Yeah, Huff?
I need a championship. I need to feel good.
Yeah.
Dove?
It's a question I cannot think about because they're not related. I can have both or neither.
What?
There's no connection.
Well, obviously, it's a hypothetical radio pick, Dove.
I'm
we understand that,
there's
sir.
There's no reason to think about it.
I was afraid to ask Dove.
They're not related.
He made them related, hence the question.
You could give me a choice of this job or that job, or this food or that food.
Well, who's your favorite team?
Yankees.
Okay.
Well, then how about sex or the Yankees winning this World Cup? Let's cater it toward you.
Why does one do with the other?
I don't know. No,
it's
radio.
It's about sacrifice, Dove. It's about sacrifice.
There's no connection. There's no reason why giving up one will relate to the other.
Why bring logic to the conversation now?
No.
I mean, story of my life.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the field.
Dovey. You knew that that was going to happen when you asked him.
I know. I didn't want to.
We love you, Dove, but we didn't want to leave you out, even though you rolled
a
bit.
I knew that was going to be a tough one with Dove. I will say, I think the majority of our listeners would probably
give up and go for the championship.
I think so.
I don't think that you're wrong. Now, it depends how old you are. Yeah. I mean, I think that matters. If you're 22, 23. Right. You know, not that, you know.
You're 60 or 70, man, be working out anyway.
Man, I still feel like I'm 25.
I get you.
I honestly do.
Oh, me too. I'm not saying the hunger's gone.
Yeah.
I'm saying it takes two to
tango. Just the meal is gone. I'm still hungry. This is nothing on the plate.
It takes two to tango.
Woo!
BT and Sal on the Fan. We will restore order. Get back to the main topic at hand as we give you the crown topic of the day. The Yankees will get into the Mets as well. And your calls, 877-337-6666.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.